Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Source Material. Tonight begins part one of a four-part discussion on an 80s staple. I welcome Source Material co-host Ronnie Adams and the Invisible One himself, Justin Thomas. Two men that know a lot more about He-Man than I do. We were able to get our hands on the mini-comic collection, Volume 1 and Volume 2, and picked out a select few to share with our audience. We also discuss our days as kids and how we got our hands on the figures. This is also a very special episode where we took to YouTube and visually shared the comic as we went through it. If you'd like to check it out, just go to YouTube and punch in hashtag source material, all one word. You should easily be able to find it to subscribe and watch. Also, this month of September, Source Material will be focusing on Alan Moore Month on Thursdays with The Long Road to Ruin. So we've broken our full two-hour episode into four parts for easier consumption over the month, so please enjoy. Make sure to give that Rattlitchin Broadcasting Network Facebook page a like to stay up on top of all the great podcasts that we have to offer. And do not forget, you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn Radio to listen at your convenience. You can also catch Ronnie Adams as one of the hosts of the Screaming Boy podcast, along with Adam Runyon. Their episodes are also available on iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn Radio. You can follow Ronnie at Screaming Boy PR on Twitter, and don't forget to check out their website, screamingboy.com. And Justin Thomas, at Spectre13, on Twitter, Instagram, Tumblr, Steam, find him on Facebook, just about anything you can think of, he probably has it, SPEKTR13. You can also catch Justin as one of the video game correspondents on the Screaming Boy podcast as well. All right, grab your swords, mount your battle cat, and scream to the heavens. Folks, welcome to a special edition, the first ever Source Material, live on YouTube, live on Google Hangouts. We're doing a live, pal. That's what we're doing. Got to do the live, pal, every once in a while Every time. Folks, my name is Jesse Starcher, and I want to first off welcome any new listeners to the Source Material podcast. If anybody's catching this on YouTube, we're about in the mid 80s now for episodes on the Rattlitchin Broadcasting Network. So if you've had the chance to listen to us before, great. If not, welcome to the show. We're going to talk comics. That's what this show is all about. We usually look at comic book genres, talk about some of the great and not so great comic story arcs that are out there. And sometimes we just pick and choose what we want to talk about. And this is kind of similar to one of those shows where this particular episode, we came up with the idea. It was many months back where we did a very few many. That's not very many. It's a few. Okay. It's not a lot many. If it was a lot many, I would have said a lot many. A few many months back, me, Ronnie, and Justin were talking. We just sat down. We did a BS episode, which is we just started talking about figures and we started getting into He-Man. So we did a little bit of a discussion about He-Man. You can go back in the Rattlitchin Broadcasting Network.
We actually started on trailers, didn't we? And I think we kind of lost track.
That's what a BS episode's all about. And they just go anywhere and everywhere. But yeah, so these guys were present for that. And we decided, okay, we need to do an actual themed He-Man episode because, hey, not only were they some pretty cool figures back in the 80s, they were also packaged with comic books. But I didn't realize the purpose of those books with each one of those figures. And that was to give you a bit of a history on, you know, what that figure was about and what their place was in Eternia. Now, if I start using, I'm not the He-Man experts because not on this podcast, that's for sure. Hey, you've heard them before here. We've got Ronnie Adams from the Screaming Boy podcast. Sir, do you have the power?
I do. More than you will ever know.
Oh, my goodness. And then I also have my good buddy, Justin Thomas, who is a He-Man extraordinaire. The one of the guys who kind of helped me think of this idea to do these comics. Justin Thomas, do you, sir, have the power?
Yep. Nope. Yep, I sure do. Yep.
Nobody's going to bite and go, I have the power. First off.
No, I mean, I should have.
Yeah, that was all you, Ronnie.
Ronnie, was it cartoon or the figures first? Which one of them brought you to the world of He-Man?
That's a really good question because I'm pretty sure it was the cartoon.
Okay.
How it went down was when I went to church, I saw that all these guys, and I was watching He-Man, these boys I went to church with, I remember this, they all had these He-Man, you know, figures.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sitting there and they had, oh man, I forget what all was, you know, they had the vehicles and all kinds of stuff. And I just remember going, man, that would be really cool to have as a, you know, in my 6 year old brain or however old it was, five or six. Yeah, six. And then, I just remember asking mom, hey, you know, I really like this. Can I have this? And she said, it was one of the first things mom, like, I remember mom going, yeah, absolutely. And I was like, wait, what? So we went and she bought me He-Man and Skeletor. Those were my very first two figures. And I said, hey, the other guys are taking them to church. Can I? And she looked at me kind of like,
church?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Because, you know, at 6 years old, we didn't have, you know, we had Sunday school.
Yeah.
But we all hung out in the adult service afterwards. So, you know, being that young, it was, you know, it got a little boring for us.
Yeah.
And mom was like, all right, you can, but you have to, you know, at least pay attention a little bit. And when I say put them up, put them up. I said, yes, ma'am. So I remember her putting all of, you know, we had these little tiny sandwich bags for, you know, snacks and stuff. And not exactly for a sandwich, but she put all of He-Man's weapons, his shield, his battle axe, his sword, and he came with a laser pistol too. I remember that. I'm pretty sure.
Mm-hmm. A laser pistol.
Yeah, or I had one from something. And so she put all that in one. She put all the Skeletor stuff in one. And that's how I took it. And I remember, you know, sitting there, you know, setting them up and playing with them a little bit. And she said, okay, that's enough. So I put them away, you know. But I remember that. And that was when I really first got into them. And then He-Man and Skeletor led to, you know, Man at Arms, Teela, and Beastman, and, you know, Triclops, and all the other weird ones that were out there. And I just went nuts with them. You know, that was my thing, I mean, as a kid. Christmas, birthday, whatever, you know, if there was He-Man figures out there I didn't have, they didn't have to ask. They just got it.
Yeah.
You know, that was my thing. If we could get it, it was bought.
Is the picture showing up right now on our?
Yes, it is. Yeah, so many memories.
All I could say is my parents must have shopped from the catalog because I had like all that.
Yeah, dude, I had Snake Mountain. I had Castle Grayskull. It was one of the first times that I remember saying, "Hey," them look at me and say, "Hey, you need this, right?" And I'm like, "Yes, I do. I absolutely do."
I think. Okay, well, hold on. Before we get into dissecting this fun little page that we're looking at, because I could see us spending at least 5-10 minutes on this page. Justin, how about you, my man? I know you gave us a little bit of insight on the previous episode, but please, for anybody that's tuning in now, you know, give us your intro to He-Man. Cartoon figures first. What was going on?
I'd say it was definitely the cartoon. I actually have photos of Christmases like long ago, back when I was like 3 and 4. And it was like always He-Man stuff.
Well, those need to go on Facebook as soon as possible.
I mean, it was like every Christmas was like He-Man from like up to 83 to, you know, 84, 85, maybe even up to 87. I had He-Man stuff all the time. But I just remember seeing, you know, Christmas photos all the time.
But yeah, you had the power.
Exactly. But I mean, I just always, as far as I can remember, it was always He-Man was number one, my priority, my number one thing that I was into back when I was really little. I mean, I had the other toys, the superheroes, I had, you know, stuff like that. But, you know, He-Man was always just who I wanted to mimic who I wanted to always act like, who I always wanted to.
He's a guy you looked up to, huh?
Yeah, I'd always run around the house yelling, "Oh, the power!" And, but what's funny was, I always, when it comes down to the toys, though, I always like playing as the villains, though. So, oh, I mean.
Well, they look cooler. I mean, there were some cooler. The villains looked cooler. That's one thing about these figures is they had, we're going to get into some of them. I mean, I looked at two comics. Okay. The villains seem to have more of a, I don't know. They could branch out and they just had some crazier looking stuff going on.
And the weapons, certain ones had certain features of just a lot more interesting than the plain old, you know, hero.
Well, I'm looking. I don't mean to interrupt, but
no, go ahead, man.
On the page there, this seems to be like kind of second gen a little bit.
It is.
Because I'm seeing, which is awesome, because I'm seeing Battle Armor, He-Man. Yep. I'm seeing Ninjor. Yeah. With the karate chop hand.
That's Jitsu.
Jitsu, sorry. And then you had the spider. Webor and Fisto's riding the horse.
Web Store,
yeah.
And Cobra Khan.
Yeah. And, dang, settle down there, Hoss. But all of these, my parents were insane because they were like, yeah, get him that. Like, you know, I had the thing that fit, you know, on the second page, the dragon track or whatever that is.
Dragon Walker.
I might have had that at one point also. Doesn't it have like a rubber band in the center?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that right, Justin?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I can remember playing with that. I believe it or not, there's a lot of these figures that I remember having. And for the life of me, I don't know where they went. I have no idea. But go ahead. What was you going to say? You got the Dragon Walker.
Oh, and Snake Mountain with the microphone in it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I remember Castle Grayskull with all the cool accessories in it, like the weapons rack that came with all the extra weapons and the laser cannon and the throne that you would twist. It would have a drop, you know, a trap door. And then you would put the two swords together, the Sword of Power, the two halves that came with Skeletor and He-Man, and you would put it into the slot, and the drawbridge would actually drop. And I think all that stuff is still in my parents' attic. And the next time I go see them, hopefully I'll have some extra time. And I'm just gonna go up there and dig it all out and bring it back with me.
You got to, man. Picks, or it didn't happen. We want to pictures.
Oh man. Oh, I had a Hordax layer too.
The Fright Zone.
The Fright Zone with the snake puppet.
Yeah.
Ooh, that sounds scary.
Yeah, it had that. I had it had the tree that could grab people at the top.
Yeah, man.
And the trap where the rocks would pinch their feet. And
the toys nowadays suck.
Okay.
Our toys were awesome. I mean, because they were like
Our toys were action figures.
Yes.
Emphasis on action. They actually did stuff.
And then, like, I was also into G.I. Joe. Now, I'm not going to get off on the subject of that, or off subject and talk about that. But, you know, the jets and the guns. Yeah, the jets and the guns and the craziness. And that's just, toys back then were just awesome.
Yeah. I was going to say, I want to throw in that the Snake Mountain actually had a trap door as well.
Yeah, it did.
I'm looking at the prices of what Castle Grayskull run back then. I can barely make it out. It's pretty blurry. I'm zooming in here. Castle Grayskull running, it looks like $27.99.
Which is about $700 now.
Inflation and collectability, folks. I didn't have Grayskull. I'm pretty certain I had Snake Mountain here. Was there any other layers that you could talk into?
No.
Okay. No. I had that one then.
Heck yeah, you did.
Let's see. I had a regular old He-Man. Letter E, Justin. The blue bat, I'm pretty sure, is a bad guy. It looks like a spider.
Web Store.
Not to be confused with the popular 80s comedy,
Webster. Emmanuel Lewis.
Oh, man. So, okay, there's our little walk down memory lane. Google Images coming through with some great throwback stuff there. Let me go ahead and stop presenting.
I'm going to cry.
Oh, man.
I miss all that stuff, man.
I hear you, dude. And I was tremendously lucky to find a bunch of them at an auction that, you know, it was great price. I got them for pretty darn cheap, if I remember correctly.
I don't really want to hear it start.
Got them really cheap. My Moss Man looked like somebody pooped on him. But other than that,
Moss Man looked like somebody pooped on him anyway.
he didn't look too healthy.
No.
But he get attacked by a stink or?
Nah, you might
even
have.
Even back when I was a kid, I remember I was looking at Moss Man going, this is just a green fuzzy beast man.
Yeah.
But I had to have him.
Had to have him.
And stink or was a stinky merman.
Well, yeah.
With a mech and neck armor.
Oh, dude, stop.
Well, okay, one more question before we go further. Just because we have the opportunity, this visual medium such as YouTube, to do our first ever source material on here.
I tell you what pretty much fueled my He-Man toy collecting was mainly my mom working at Ben Franklin.
Ben Franklin. Now, I think you may have mentioned that before. What was Ben Franklin?
It was like a store like Family Dollar.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And back then, actually, Family Dollar actually had cool stuff. And there was also Woolworths down in Marietta, and it actually had cool stuff. And, I mean, it wasn't these – I mean, they did have the knockoffs, you know, like – remember the He-Man knockoffs they used to have?
Yeah, I think somebody just posted one there in the Dave's American Toys.
I think it was Gavin.
It was Gavin. Yeah, and I think Justin, you might have chimed in on it too. But yeah, go ahead. I could tell it was definitely a He-Man knockoff. It was nothing I'd ever seen in the He-Man line. Somebody posted a picture of what it was supposed to be, and I can't even remember off the top of my head. But go ahead and continue, Justin.
I was going to say, but they just always had the actual He-Man figures, said just having just the knockoffs only. Like the places do now, they just have the knockoffs. You never see the actual toys anymore. Mm-hmm. It's always generic knockoffs. And even the knockoffs back then were just as awesome as the originals. I mean, yeah. You could actually literally, you know, take a knockoff and put with your He-Mans and just he could just join the group. Join the battle. But
it's an expanded line.
But these ones today now, I mean, these knockoffs of everything, you can just tell right off the bat that they're...
My go-to with my granddaddy, and he'd always buy me either a real one or a knockoff or something, was a place in Logan County was called K-City. And I just remember walking up this big old ramp going into the store, and it was like... I just remember it being, like, dingy and awesome because it had all the stuff that, you know... that mom's like, you don't need that. And granddad was like, what do you want? So, of course, you know, we'd make special shopping trips to Charleston, you know, on Saturdays or whatever. And then I would get to go look at the He-Man figures. And maybe if I was lucky enough, I'd go, you know, go home with one if it wasn't my birthday or, you know, if it was just a regular old day.
Mm-hmm. Now, see, I was Columbus instead of Charleston. And Columbus, the big experience for me was they had something called a kid's castle. Up there we could buy toys.
Yes, I remember Kids Castle.
Yeah, and right next to it, ironically, was Toys R Us. So literally, just one to the other. And I mean, literally, never came home empty-handed from Columbus, ever. Literally, I pretty much always took my He-Man figures everywhere I went. I had like a little case thing I'd carry my He-Man figures everywhere. I mean, I even took them into the stores with me, and...
Was it the official He-Man case? Because I think we actually saw that on that last page we was looking at. There was a collector's case or the not a collector's case, but the figure case that you could buy.
It might have been up until it got, you know, too full.
They were made to look cool, but they didn't. The inside of them kind of fell apart.
They were pretty much just cardboard.
All right, let me go ahead and get on out of this. We'll get into the meat of this particular podcast, and that is the stories that were sometimes packaged with the figures. Now, Ronnie, this first one that you're going to bring to us.
Yeah.
Was it actually with the figure, or was this one of the ones?
He-Man.
It was with He-Man.
Yeah.
Okay.
A little bit of trivia though. Who actually done the mini comics for Mattel?
DC.
Ding ding ding.
Nice. Very nice.
Yeah, DC had the rights to He-Man. I used to have a comic book that had the Superman He-Man crossover. And wow. Anyways, this is back before Marvel even got their hands on it. Or I should say the Marvel's Star. You remember when they had the Star?
Yeah, the Star brand. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, it was way before that.
That was all the like cartoons, and then, like all the Heathcliff, and if I remember correctly,
yes.
they had like some
Garfield
cartoon properties.
Yeah. So Madballs.
Madballs. Madballs comic.
They had a Madballs comic, yeah.
All right, so what we're looking at here, just to give our listeners/viewers a good idea of where we're pulling this stuff from. This is a digital copy of the Mini Comic Collection Volume 1. We're actually going to be flipping through Volume 1 and Volume 2 as we go along. So the purpose of our show is to grab some of our some of the mini comics that we wanted to kind of cover and just kind of give you a sampling. Both of these volumes are huge. So what you see here is just a tiny representation of this compiled amount of all these mini comics that came out throughout the years for He-Man. If any of this stuff interests you, I highly suggest you go out and purchase a copy. So that's kind of what we're looking at here. And this is the actual first book, Masters of the Universe, He-Man and the Power Sword. So let's go ahead. I'm going to turn it over to you, Ronnie. So if you want me to turn the page or kind of guide through or whatever, how you want to do it, we'll go ahead and do so. I just want to go ahead and point out on the cover of this particular comic, who do we got on the front cover here, Ronnie?
You have Man-at-Arms, later known as Duncan Man-at-Arms. You have He-Man himself.
Duncan MacLeod of the Clan MacLeod.
No. You have He-Man himself. You have Beast-Man. You have Skeletor as well. And Castle Grayskull, what should be destroying Man-at-Arms.
Yeah, what is
him.
Going on here? What
are I have no clue. That is an iconic picture. Mm-hmm. That was on a lot of things with He-Man. I remember having other books, like actual books with that picture on it. I used to have a, like, the vinyl, not stickers, but you would put them up on like a...
Now they're like static cling to whatever you
put
them on.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Yes.
And then, so that was on the cover, or on the box, or, you know, that was the cover of the box, that picture. So that was a big thing. It was before it was really known as He-Man. And the Masters of the Universe. He-Man wasn't he was the forefront. He was the main hero, but it wasn't called He-Man. It was just called Masters of the Universe. The packaging of the toys and the books and everything just said Masters of the Universe. And later it was changed, you know, to He-Man and Masters of the Universe. This first book has a completely different story than the cartoon.
Okay. All right. Well, let's rock and roll. We'll go ahead and get through it. Please explain to us what's going on here in He-Man and the Power Sword.
Basically, it shows He-Man in a very different light. He's not Prince Adam. He's not, dual characters. He is He-Man.
I don't want to say Neanderthal, but I mean,
he's a barbarian. Like
better
Conan.
Description. Yeah.
Yeah. Mighty figure stood at the edge of the jungle that had, until this day, always been his home. You know, he lived in the jungle with a tribe of people, and he decided one day he had a mission that he had to go, accomplish. And that was to fight the evil forces that wanted to take over Castle Grayskull, which is a mystic castle that they knew about. So as he's traveling along, he leaves these people. He comes across this woman that's being attacked by this beast, this animal. That's
a sloth.
A giant rabid sloth.
Stega sloth.
So he, being the noble man that he was, he jumped down. He was already powerful and strong. He jumps down. The lady he's saving shoots a bolt of some kind of mystic energy, magic or something, and he realizes that she's a sorceress, but her magic was nothing against the giant rabid sloth. So he defeated it with his strength. Okay. So she decides that he is just courageous and just noble enough to be, not just, but he's courageous and noble enough to be the protector of Eternia and that's in there and its secrets in Castle Grayskull. So she takes him to this cave, it looks like, and bestows upon him all these weapons that Eternia's scientists made centuries before the Great Wars. I don't remember the Great Wars much in the cartoon or anything like that, but there we see the shield, a battle axe, a sword, some boots, and his iconic armor, which covered nothing.
And you also, all it is just a big plate on the center of his chest, and it's not, it's no, it couldn't be no more than like maybe a foot and a half, you know, each side.
Yeah.
Wow. Now,
if that, but these mystic weapons added to his strength.
Okay.
So it gave him superhuman strength, and as it goes on, he has this sled, which was, it says a vehicle which was a combination of a battering ram, a catapult, and a space warp device that somehow
just throwing a barbarian, these three things together.
Yeah, somehow a barbarian that lived out in the jungle knew what a space warp device was. He goes off and he creates his own home out of the side of a mountain by punching it because he is that strong now.
Wow. Okay. Yes.
So we are then greeted by our two villains, Beastman and the evil Skeletor. They go run across Teela, a warrior goddess, and she is watering her horse. And Skeletor says, Beastman says she is that she's so beautiful that I'm starting to believe that she is a goddess. And Skeletor, being the evil man that he is, says, soon she will be more than that, whispered his master Skeletor. Soon she will be my bride.
Oh, goodness.
Bum, bum, bum.
Got the hots for
her. Is that a unicorn?
I don't think so. I think
page, it looks like she...
I think it has a plate, like a armor thing on its head.
Oh, okay.
It look like, right. Yeah. So they attack her, only to realize that she is a warrior goddess, and that she fought like a demon, but she was nothing... against Skeletor's, what was it called? Energy Blade. So
it's an Energy Blade.
Yeah, they knock out her horse, they knock her out, and Beastman carries her back to Castle Grayskull. Why they automatically go to Castle Grayskull, I don't know. I guess because he wants the secrets. But we are greeted with what seems to be Castle Grayskull. Well, it's Castle Grayskull, and they go back. An eerie voice tells them, go back. The secrets and treasures of Castle Grayskull are for no one to possess. Go away. Do they listen? No. They pry open the drawbridge.
And let me just say real quick, Skeletor looking very scary.
It's terrifying.
I was going to say, was that Stratos in the last pick?
If you go back to that last picture, you see Merman and Stratos there. Stratos, who started off as a villain but became a hero.
I'll go ahead and point this out. This is one of the great points of this particular book, or one of the great advantages of having this book, this huge volume set. Down there in the bottom, it says Stratos is seen working with Skeletor's evil warriors. These neat little footnotes down here.
Mm-hmm.
This has its roots in the early Mattel licensee guide, where Stratos is described as a villain soaring on wings of wickedness. Very interesting.
Yeah.
Then they do the same mistake with Zodak as well.
I think so.
All right, so go ahead here. We got he comes into the castle. He's got his arms in the air, and
he finds out that he can get the two halves of the Sword of Power, which will bestow upon him, you know, all the powers and secrets of Castle Grayskull.
Yeah.
So he defies the spirit of the castle. He reveals that he is from another dimension. And there was a hole in a dimensional, you know, it created a dimensional portal that he was flung through. And it was populated by others of his kind, who are probably well-muscular men with skeletal faces. And then,
interesting.
With the complete Sword of Power, I shall reopen the portal and bring his people through to conquer the world. That's his whole plan. So
dimension hopping, I'm down with that.
There you go. See? So they lay Teela on a slab of stone in Castle Grayskull, and they leave her there. So he reveals that he has a map that they show the way to a fiery sword. So they go through a secret passage, which leads them to He-Man. That doesn't lead them to He-Man, but we cut to He-Man.
Is he in a different dimension?
He-Man is finishing his home out of the side of a mountain. And all of a sudden, he rolls up. He sees a guy rolling up in a chariot who is now Man-at-Arms, and he obviously knows who Man-at-Arms is. So we don't get much, you know, character development with Man-at-Arms. They just know that he is a mighty warrior, and they said, he needs your help. So he said, of course I'll fight you, you know, by your side. So he jumps on his space warp device and says, I'll go. And then he activates he doesn't ride on the sled. He activates the space warp device and disappears. So back at Castle Grayskull, we've got the dynamic duo of Beastman and Skeletor trying to, you know, open the door to the power sword. They finally made it. Beastman can't open it with just his claws and his fangs. So Skeletor, tells him, stand back, you ape. And he cuts through it with his lightning blade, which apparently it's changed to a lightning blade from an energy blade.
Samurai slice.
So he cuts through it, and they are, you know, on their way to finding the Sword of Power. We go to He-Man. He-Man is riding his space warp sled, battering ram, and Cuisinart to battle. Beastman finds out that he is on his way, and he climbs up to the top of Castle Grayskull and starts shooting with the laser cannon. But He-Man, did you know that his armor at the time created a force field for him?
Okay.
It did not harm him. And he said, so, you know, he had nothing to worry about. But Beastman, not quite the dummy that everybody thinks he is, shoots the sled instead and throws him off. Basically, Skeletor finds the Sword of Power. And, he says that I'm going to, you know, rule the world. Man-at-Arms shows up, saves He-Man, saves the day, from, you know, shoots the cannon, from his chariot. They've got to go rescue Teela and take the Sword of Power back. Somehow, this is where it kind of lost me because, you know, I'm in my 30s and I'm like, what is going on here? He-Man is stripped naked almost, except down to his, furry BBDs there. And is being attacked by Skeletor, and Skeletor's throwing all these weapons at him because he controls the Sword of Power, and he can do so without having to exert any energy of his own. So he's using the Sword of Power to throw all these crazy weapons at He-Man. But all of a sudden, a beautiful figure appears who is glowing green with power, uses her magic to split the Sword of Power in half, and rescues He-Man, takes the Sword of Power out of Skeletor's hands.
Yeah, very familiar. By the way, green-skinned sorceress.
Yes, who's wearing the snake arm and everything. He-Man picks Beastman up over his head, and of course they win the day. They fight. Teela is in the background there. She's fighting with them, although I don't know what she's fighting because there's only two villains.
she's fighting the nothing from Neverending Story.
Yes.
Oh, tune in. That's callback
to last night. And then, of course, the good guys win the day. The sorceress in the next one says, oh, well, they run them off. They're running off into the distance. And now Teela's blonde. I thought she was redheaded, but she's blonde in this. Mm-hmm. So they find out that the sorceress has, you know, split the sword in two, and she's hidden them, and that they need the two swords to open Castle Grayskull, so all of its secrets and everything are locked away. And you are truly masters of the universe, she tells them, who are destined to protect my secrets from evil forces. Well, the spirit of the castle told them, and you have to have some small reward. And then a reward from the form of a snow-white unicorn that galloped over the hill, returned to his mistress. So it is a unicorn. I was wrong. Yeah.
It's
so
okay.
Do you think that the last of those two, that's the last of those two, or the power sword? I doubt it, answered He-Man. But as he looked to the ward, toward the rising sun, it seemed to be a good omen for Eternia and the masters of the universe.
All right. So we've got our first. You're all right. Our first introduction to our masters of the universe, you know, our staples, pretty much. Man-at-Arms, He-Man, Teela. Sorceress, which, by the way, Sorceress Green, she wasn't green originally.
Who's Sorceress and who's Teela in this? So.
Well, let's go back here. I'm scrolling back here just to see when the Sorceress first appeared, if they mentioned anything about how she was green.
Well, she is green there.
Oh, I mean, was she green originally in the toy line, though?
No.
Okay. No. All right. Well, many fans attribute the goddess to the green character with cobra armor. She is actually the sorceress in the first mini comic. Later, the sorceress's story and design were changed completely.
Yep.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. Well,
in the toys,
she was given the snake armor.
That's what I was going to say.
In the toys, yeah.
She reminded me. That's who I thought it was originally. I was like, oh, he's rescuing Teela. That is not the case. Okay. So yeah, if, for those that are listening to this, I know it's hard. We're looking at it visually on YouTube, and the sorceress, the way she's made up, she's completely green skin, and she has this snake armor that, just like they said, Teela had in the toy line. So, okay. Question one, Ronnie, I know you already said you didn't know what it was. Justin, do you have any insight on the Great Wars that they were talking about?
I'm clueless as to this Great War. The only thing I can think of is from the other storyline with Great Wars was Randor fighting Keldor.
And I have no idea what you're talking about.
Randor is Prince Adam's dad, and Keldor was Prince Adam's uncle. They were brothers. Okay. And Keldor was actually turned into Skeletor after a while.
Oh, really?
It was an accident which happened with his face.
Ooh.
And basically that's what made the... It was basically the mystics made it so that the bad guys were over here. They made like a... At the time they made a wall and the bad guys were here and the good guys were on this side. So the bad guys were all sent over to the dark side to stay there.
Is this bad guy Donald Trump?
No politics.
No politics. This is Source Material. It's a comic book podcast. Give me a break.
It was the it was the ancients is what was, and that's the only war I can think of as far as He-Man goes.
Okay.
The thing about it is, we may have been me personally and different things. I can't remember if I was drawn in by the that's what I'm saying. I really can't remember if I was drawn in by the cartoon. I don't think I was, because it was just these were the toys to have back in the day, because they came out. And the more I think about it, because He-Man was actually originally, I think, if I'm not mistaken, supposed to be a Conan line.
Yeah.
And because Conan was rated R, they were like, let's change it. So they made it He-Man. Mm-hmm. And they made this toy line. That's why this original comic book is a completely different story from the cartoons. A completely different story.
And see, the cartoon actually takes from its first cartoon, Filmation's first cartoon before He-Man, they actually took stuff from it and moved over to He-Man. The cartoon was called Black Star, and a lot of similarities with Black Star appear in the He-Man cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for instance, Black Star had the Star Sword, which is separated into two halves.
Yeah.
And then a lot of the beasts that you see from the Black Star cartoon have appeared in the He-Man cartoons.
Mm. So, I mean, it was kind of a happy accident that He-Man happened. But and like I just remember saying, those are cool toys. I need to have those. And that's when my mom was like, okay, yeah, sure. And that part I remember, like, yeah, let's get He-Man and Skeletor. And I'm like, what?
Hey, did you have any of the Black Stars?
No. This was my thing was He-Man and G.I. Joe. Transformers were, but they were a little too expensive for one figure. So they kind of stuck with the smaller figures, the action figures, which was fine by me. I can't say that I didn't have Transformers, because I had Optimus Prime. I had all, a bunch of them. But these were more along my line, because I could, it was a little more conducive for me to have these because of, price point. And it was just cooler. I mean, I was into the fantasy stuff, I was into that kind of thing, robots and those were cool. But man, swords swords and magic riding into battle on your steed, that was the cool part for me,
Yeah, the 80s were all about fantasy pretty much, especially the early 80s. It was cartoons and movies. I mean, for instance, you had Neverending Story, Legend, Dragon Slayer. I mean, just look at all the movies.
I love Dragon Slayer.
And so ends part one of our look at He-Man and the Masters of the Universe. There's still three more parts to come, so tune in next Monday right here on the Rattlitchin Broadcasting Network for part two, as we look at two more mini-comics featuring Ram Man and Trap Jaw. So until then, faithful listeners, have the power!